Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. Dr. Crane going deep in the archives for our next guest. The CEO of the Nashville Predators and noted Giants fan, Sean Henry, joins us now. Sean, how you doing?
Well, current CEO of the Nashville Predators, Nick Bernhausen, he's afraid after this interview I might be done.
Oh, I think you'll be fine. I have faith in you.
I hope so.
You're enjoying a little off season before draft prep and all that gets underway, and I think you're hiring somebody, but I'm not going to ask you about that because you're not going to tell me, so I'm not going to bring that up today. But the bow is on the season. You guys had your end of season pressers on Monday, I guess it was. This week has flown by. What's kind of in a nutshell your thoughts on the season, even though I know disappointed not in the playoffs?
Well, I'll start with the player meetings and then kind of go backwards. It's always interesting to like eavesdrop what is being said to the media by our players. Obviously, we had a team meeting as well. Had a chance to kind of update them on the GM search, where we are for the future, what we're doing Centennial, how we're moving forward. And it was really fun to hear the players talk about the year. You know, obviously, very disappointed. You know, some have referred to it as it was a failure, and I like when the players see it that way, right? It's a pass-fail league. Yet at the same time, you look at what the team did together. You know, get up to that awful start, you know, 6-12-2, I think. And then, you know, after that run, you're, I don't know, one of the 8 or 9 best teams in the league. And we got a chance to see 9 different rookies play their first game or show some significant games. I think almost every single night you had 3, 4, 5 rookies in the lineup. And look what we did. I mean, until the 81st game, they were pushing towards the playoffs. We knew this would be a long process, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm pretty excited about where we are and what we're seeing for the future.
Well, and it's interesting to hear, you know, the players say that looking at it as a failure, because if we're being honest, 31 teams fail every year because there's obviously one goal, and that is to win the Stanley Cup, and only one team gets to do that. So I asked Barry Trotz this a few weeks ago. I'll ask you the same thing. When you look at it through that lens of knowing that only one team is going to raise the cup, how do you define what is a successful season or not?
Well, I think you got to be realistic where you are. And, you know, you always say once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen, which is so, so true. But in reality, you know, when you start the season, you have your internal expectations of what you think the team could be. And we were pretty public about what, you know, we thought we should be this year. And the goal is to play really meaningful games into March, and Nashville played them into April into the 81st game. And then it just breaks your heart when you don't win and get into the playoffs. Because you have to, you know, go through what we just went through this year with a lot of young guys learning from the veterans to see how they prepared for all those games, you know, since the Olympic break. You know, what does it take to play real tough games? And then ideally next year, we're in the playoffs. And you see what it's like to prepare for that virtually every other day. You know, travel's hard. Because then it allows you to take the next step and the next step and the next step. And ideally, the next step after that culminates in those 16 wins and the ultimate party on Broadway.
Sean Henry's with us, but where are you exactly?
I'm not going to tell you exactly, but I don't want you showing up on my doorstep. We're on the beach about 90 miles south of Tampa on the West Coast. My 2 grandkids, our son, their cousins, just a bunch of kids surrounding us. It's a good way to lick your wounds after a season.
You can say Naples. That's okay.
No, we're not Naples. We're north. We can't afford Naples. We're off of Englewood, man.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. My bad about that.
Someday we'll be in Naples, I hope, you know, if I start listening to financial advice from Chase.
Oh, yeah. You'll be in a different Englewood. Don't you worry about that.
I'm in the wrong Englewood. I'm on the water in Englewood, not the one in L.A.
Yeah, exactly. I was reading the other day, when is all the things to Bridgestone happening, the plaza and all? Does that start this summer or is that next summer?
Well, you know, it really started a few years ago when we built out MGM and then California Closets, just kind of testing a few systems. This summer, though, is what we call a bunch of enabling projects where we're doing replacing all the ice system controls, which is a huge project. Doesn't really sound like it. But then we're also adding 2 escalators to the south side of the building, you know, the Nissan entrance on the south side. Because then next summer, we'll put up a construction wall in front of the box office right through where guest service and the meeting rooms are and tear down that Broadway building, you know, on that side. Mm. So this summer, preparing all the projects for next summer. Doing a lot of infrastructure, a lot of things you probably won't see. Yet at the same time, making sure that while we're doing this incredible transformation, the interruption to our fans is as limited as possible. And that's so important to us.
I just think all the stuff you guys got going on, the fact that you're doing this while you're playing hockey and the building still has got to be in use, that just fascinates me because the show goes on, right?
The show goes on. And, you know, for me, sports and entertainment, it's multi-generational. And that's why, as much as I despise the Cubs and the Red Sox and being a Yankee fan, when Yankee Stadium tore down the old Yankee Stadium, or when the Yankees tore down the old Yankee Stadium, I was furious. I really was. Because, you know, my grandparents weren't on a date there, you know. It is about telling stories. I was here when this happened or there when this happened. And I'm excited over the fact that, you know, my granddaughter, who's on the beach with me right now, is going to tell her grandson where she was for the Preds' seventh Stanley Cup, you know, win, or, you know, whatever memory is special for her. And I think that's so, so important. And you can do it, and it's good for the city. It's good for the team. It's good for your players. It's good for the fans. I mean, I hate the Red Sox and the Cubs, but I love Wrigley, and I love Fenway, and I love Soldier Field, and I love Lambeau, because they've done such a good job in reinvesting in it, and there's something magical about knowing that's where Babe Ruth, you know, had 29 and a third scoreless innings in the World Series as a Red Sox, right? That's where, you know, the White or the Cubs, Hack Wilson had 191 RBIs, or whatever stats you want to say. You know, I like when the Giants almost beat Packers in Lambeau, but that didn't happen very often.
It did in 2007.
It did. We were road warriors that year, weren't we, man? So that was something.
All the way to the Super Bowl.
How exciting was that, huh?
I was going to ask you this.
From Auburn, which is, you know, I'm an Auburn guy now.
I know that.
I'm excited about him, you know, and we'll see where he ends up going. And obviously giving a wide receiver to the young quarterback, that's pretty exciting. Giants with two top 10 picks. And I don't think we screwed them up, which normally I think we will. You know, that's where the fan side of me comes out. And I always hate any draft because the fan of that team always hates the draft. And I think I might like ours. I mean, I should be excited. Chase said I should be last night.
Yeah, you should
be.
Yeah,
I like Arvel. I mean, we were talking about Reese to the Titans, and then he goes to the next pick
to
the Giants.
Well, I mean, you guys got Thibodeau. You got Brian Burns. I mean, you got some – the Giants got a pretty good defensive line.
They got the kid from Penn State last year.
I know.
Abdul Carter.
Carter.
I don't even want to think about what I'm thinking in my brain because then I'm just exposing myself as the fan, you know, fanatical side of my fandom. But I'm pretty excited about next year. You know, I don't think much of our division. So we can roll through it and just keep the Cowboys in misery so Chase cries like he did when he was 11 years old.
What would it be like for you if in a calendar year it was Titans, Giants in the Super Bowl, Predators in the Stanley Cup, winning the Stanley Cup, and the Yankees in the World Series?
I mean, as much as I love the Yankees and the Giants, I mean, if we're able to make the Stanley Cup, those two things stacked on top of each other 20 years in a row would mean nothing to me compared to, you know, winning a cup with the Preds or seeing the Titans in the Super Bowl for our city would be awesome. But make no mistake about it, Preds first by, it'll be like me playing basketball against Michael Jordan like by such a far distance. But, you know, you like seeing your team win. You know, I've been fortunate enough to see the Giants win four Super Bowls, Yankees in my lifetime win, I don't know, seven, I guess, World Series. So that's all neat. But there's nothing like the team that, you know, you work for, that you give a lot to, and you see how much the fans care about winning. You know, I had a chance to do it once, and selfishly, I want to do it again so badly. There'll be like no other celebration than our team winning on home ice in Nashville. How great would that be? It'd be like if the Titans won in 2030 when we're hosting the Super Bowl, unofficially, of course, gentlemen. That'd be awesome. Like, because there's the magic of sports. When you win in your home city, it's even more special.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. And when, you know, going back to where we started this conversation, when you have these veteran players that are telling you, hey, we want to see this through. We kind of like what we're doing here. What we started building. I mean, that has to, as somebody in your position and anybody in the building has to kind of make you go, okay, like that's what I needed to hear. Like, we like what we're doing too, but the fact that you're getting that commitment from the players has to be pretty special.
You know, it really is. It's kind of the icing on the cake when you have guys that any team in our league would have done anything to get to have some of that veteran, you know, experience, leadership, and winning culture come to them. And they said, don't trade me. This is where I want to be. I want to see it through. We can do it here. I mean, you got a couple Hall of Famers saying that to you. That's an incredible thing. It really, really is. And there is nothing better than when you do win for that guy that decided to stay here. And so let's make it happen. And that's the real key. Joe always talks that way. Let's just do it. There's no reason we can't.
What is the latest with Centennial?
So May 1st, we officially start operating it, and I'm really excited that most of their employees accepted a job with us, which is really exciting. So many good people over there. And we'll probably break ground on the Pred side mid-July or so, give or take. I don't have the exact date yet. And then over the next, you know, 3 or 4 months, we have a chance to work with the staff that's coming on board, Parks Department, and the city on what should we do on the other side. But what's exciting about our new training center, where we are right now, that building will stay. And once we open our training center, the existing one then will be converted into the visiting team locker room, ideally space for TSU, ideally space for the Flyers, ideally some all-purpose rooms where more people can use it. It will really change the experience for youth travel hockey, ideally TSU, bring that about. And then, almost as important, those visiting players coming in will have a great experience instead of what they enjoy right now. So when they're evaluating on whether or not to come here, they think, man, it's a first-class organization. So pretty excited about it. But the best part about the whole thing is we're able to step into a financial void and not put anything on taxpayers and take responsibility for $30, $35, $40 million of needed work over there over the next few years. And it's something that we're excited to do and proud to do, and never let anyone think that place will ever close. And that it's a pretty cool thing. There's a lot of drama around it, and I like that because it shows how passionate, you know, hockey families are and skaters are. But now we've had a chance to work with people. It's been pretty cool and rewarding.
That's awesome. Well, Sean, appreciate it. Thanks for taking some time. I know you're with your family and enjoying a little relaxation after the season, but always good to talk to you. And the NHL draft is not too far, so we'll be obviously talking about that very soon.
Well, be on the lookout on ways to bring the team luck, because May 5th is the lottery, and you know we're 10th right now. Last year, the Islanders leapfrogged everyone, so ideally we can too. So we're going to ask our fans for some creative ways of bringing some luck to Smashville.
I love it.
Let's do something fun.
Absolutely.
Hey, look forward to Ricky's postcard from Palm Island. He'll be sending it from both of us.
Okay. Well, he'll love that for sure. Thank you, Sean.
See you guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Sean Henry, CEO, Nashville Predators, joining us here on the program. And we will come back with What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays and put a bow on this week, get you set for night 2 of the draft. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.